And turn to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at a rather lengthy passage, but I truly believe a helpful passage as Jesus explains some things to his disciples, and the disciples, they're confused. They want to ask questions. They don't ask questions. And so Jesus asks them and prompts them and of course speaks words of great comfort to them. And we're going to begin reading in verse 16, John chapter 16 and verse 16. We're going to read down through the end of the chapter. So a rather lengthy text, but I do hope that that you'll follow along with me as I read. I'll call on us to read a few of these verses together. Let's all stand if you're able. Would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? John chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus speaking says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." And let's read verse 19 together. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb." Verse 30, can we read that together, please? "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Verse 33 together, please. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for passages as this one, Father, who, as it explains some confusion, some troubling words, some misunderstanding, Father, that it helps us, and the comfort, the words of our Savior speak to our hearts now almost 2,000 years later. Father, I pray that we would take heart, and that we would be encouraged. And Father, that as we go through times of difficulty. Father, the promises of God seem unsure. Our own confusion of heart and mind, Father, cause us to hesitate. Father, I pray that we would continue to trust. Father, I pray that we as the disciples of old, Father, would say that we believe. We believe that Thou camest forth from God. Father, encourage us. Increase our faith. Father, I pray that in these next few moments, the Word of God would be heard, that Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that the love of God would be felt. May Your Spirit fill me. Help me as I preach Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you ever find yourself confused? Unsure of which way to go? You know, with the circumstances in your life, you're just not exactly sure what God is doing. And you're not sure what to do about that and how to respond, where to turn. You know, perhaps a big life decision, the death of a loved one. So many different circumstances that we find ourselves presented with. Maybe Scripture. And confusion and trying to understand perhaps what it means or how it applies to your situation. You know, our text this morning reminds us that we're not alone. You're not alone. And in this passage, you know, this text gives us some insight as to what the Lord does in these times. You know, and as the disciples have these questions and they wonder exactly what God, what Jesus is speaking of, and you know, and they ask their questions and they're afraid to ask their questions, and Jesus speaks to their questions. You know, it reminds us Jesus did not give them the specific answers that they wanted. You know, and again, He's not going to answer all our questions, especially answer our questions in our time, because this is a life of faith. And the Bible reminds us of that, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But yet our text gives us insight as to what God is doing in these times of confusion. And I want to share just a few very simple thoughts from our text this morning. First of all, number one, Christ's work in your life today takes tomorrow into account. Christ's work in your life today takes tomorrow into account. In verse 16, Jesus, speaking to His disciples, says, "A little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." And of course, that statement leaves His disciples confused. And Jesus, when He shares this statement, do you think that Jesus knew that they would not understand it? Well, of course He did. The statement is very simple. And yet, the disciples are not able to grasp the significance of it and the meaning of it and an understanding of it because of their perspective. You see, I want to remind us that we are on this side of the cross. And Jesus has told His disciples, and He's told them even many times, that He's going to give His life and that He's going to die, and 3 days later He's going to rise again from the grave. But we look back on it as an established fact, something that has already happened. And the disciples, because of their perspective, are not able to grasp that. Okay, you know, for instance, if I told you folks, take out your phones, and if you can give by texting 258-3309. Okay? It's something that you can grasp, you can understand. Okay? But if I would have told that to the crowd that started the Allen Baptist Church 70 years ago, take out your phones and give by text, they wouldn't have any idea what I was speaking of.
You see, on this side of the cross, we're able to understand the significance of these words. And yet what the Lord is teaching, the instruction that He is giving His disciples, is not for their immediate profit, but it is for their future benefit. And what the way the Lord works in your life today takes tomorrow into account. Jesus knows that they're not going to understand His words, and yet they so desperately need His words because of the difficulties that they were going to face. And Jesus loves His disciples, and He is preparing them for His departure. And I want to remind all of us this morning that the way that God is working in your life today takes the future into account. God is working in your life so as to prepare you for what lies ahead. The trials and the testings. And God knows what lies ahead on your spiritual journey. You know, I love that. The Bible says God declares the end from the beginning. And He knows where you are. And He takes all of that into account. He knows your past. He knows where you are today. He knows what lies ahead. And all of that is taken into account as He leads you on this journey of faith. You know, before we move on, I want to just take a moment and make a practical application here. You know, one of the topics that I hear discussed a lot among preachers in Christendom is this topic of relevant preaching. Now, if you're speaking about the idea that the preaching of the Word of God needs to be relevant in that it needs to connect with our lives, I certainly am in agreement with that. But the point I want to make is this: who determines whether or not it's relevant? You know, if the disciples were able, after Jesus spoke verse 16, to make a judgment as to whether or not Jesus' words were relevant, you see, they would have said, this isn't relevant to us. You see, and I want to remind us that we live in a consumerist culture. And we all have this mindset of how is it going to help me? How is it going to benefit me? And visitors show up at church and they listen to the preaching of the Word of God and the message, and they want to make their judgments about the preaching or the preacher or the church based on how satisfied they are as they walk out the doors. And I want to remind us that God may be giving them something that they're not going to need this week or even today. It might be something that God is doing in their life to prepare them for the future. You see, all a preacher has to do to be relevant is to faithfully preach the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is relevant to our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Would you read it with me, please? Ready? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the disciples might not have thought that this was going to be relevant, but the Lord knew their future, and He knew what they were going to face. He knew what they were going to need. See, it's not the listener who determines whether or not it's relevant. It was the Lord, and He is the one that gave them His Word. You know, when people come to church, boy, they find them. I find them as I speak to them. They look. They're looking for an atmosphere. They're looking for an experience. They're looking for a church that have others that look like them and their situation. And listen, I want to remind us as a church, as God blesses us and sends people our way, we need to love every single person who walks through those doors. And we need to accept every single person that walks through those doors. And by the way, acceptance does not equate to approval. But we keep in good practice by loving one another. And we love one another, and we love them as God sends them our way. But when people are looking for preaching that ministers to their felt needs, that scratches where they itch, so to speak. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 reminds us that the church is the house of God, the church of the living God. Say that last phrase with me. The pillar and ground of the truth. You see, the most important criteria in finding a church is, do they believe the Word of God? You could even say, do they even have the Word of God? Do they preach the Word of God? Is the Word of God the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? Because the Word of God is relevant and God speaks to our lives through His Word. But I want to take just a moment and I want us to look at verse 16. Jesus says, a little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. What exactly does Jesus mean by that? Well, trying to study this out, I found there are three basic interpretations of that. You're not going to see me, but then you're going to see me again. And that they would see him again at his resurrection. Of course, we understand that. They would see him again at the coming of the Holy Spirit through eyes of faith. And they would see him again at his second coming. And it's amazing. These disciples don't understand. And yet, almost 2,000 years later, Bible students still don't understand and still discuss the meaning of these passages. And each one of them comes up with different, draws out different thoughts and truths from this text to give evidence to their interpretation. Okay, look at verse 20. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Let me ask you, when did the world rejoice? They rejoiced when they had crucified the Son of God. When the religious leaders were finally rid of him and rid of his influence. And yet, in their seeing Christ again after the resurrection, that sorrow was turned to joy. Yea, great joy. And now look a little further. In verse 28, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. So this idea that him not seeing them would be at his ascension, and that's when he would be leaving. And of course, Jesus goes on in this passage in verse 23. He says that you're not going to ask me. He says, verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily or truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And no longer will you ask the Father. I'm not going to be teaching you anymore. And the Father's going to teach you. You're going to pray the Father and he's going to answer. And of course, we ask ourselves, well, when did that happen? When were the disciples no longer fearful? And when were they filled with boldness and with joy? And that was at the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they pray to the Father and through eyes of faith, they see him and they preach in his name. And yet there are others that refer to this as referring to, yes, Jesus departed. He ascended to heaven and then he is going to come again. It refers to his second coming. And of course, verses 20 and 21 speak about this age of sorrow and this time of travail and this time of sorrow would finally come to an end. Look at verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Verse 22, would you read it with me, please? And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know, there are others that say this refers to the second coming and when the fact we are reunited with him and we are again able to enjoy his presence, that internal joy would be ours that would never be taken away from us. You see, that this passage, this statement of Christ and his explanation, it's not confusing because it's not adequate. Oh, listen, the words of Christ are more than adequate. See, I want to remind us, this is more than just a statement for 11 men who are huddled in the garden, okay, receiving some final instruction before Jesus is arrested and taken to trial and crucified. You see, these statements of Christ were encouraged their heart then, and over the many, many centuries since, have encouraged the hearts of hundreds of millions of Christians. You see, these statements of Christ are more than adequate. And I want to remind us, as God works in our lives and God speaks to us and through His Word, He is taking tomorrow into account. I want us to notice next, number two, Jesus Christ wants you to seek clarity from Him. Jesus Christ wants you to seek clarity from Him. Now, Jesus speaks verse 16. I want us to notice specifically the response of the disciples. Look at verse 17. 17 and 18. Then said some of His disciples among themselves, "What is this that He saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see Me?" And again, "a little while, and ye shall see Me, and because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that He saith, a little while? We cannot tell what He saith." Again, the disciples do not understand. And they're aware of their lack of understanding. Now, by the way, they acknowledge their lack of understanding. That's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing to be open and transparent about what you don't know. But they're talking among themselves. And they only talk among themselves. See, verse 19 starts out, "But Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask." They wanted to ask. They knew they didn't know what Jesus meant. And they needed clarification. But instead of asking the Son of God, they're discussing this among themselves. They're asking each other, what does this mean? And I look at that and I ask myself, why didn't they ask? Jesus is right there. He's just spoken these words to them. And they're talking amongst themselves instead of saying, "Jesus, what exactly do you mean by this?" And I came to the realization they didn't ask for the same reason we don't ask. You know, we don't ask. We don't ask the questions. We don't seek out the answers because of our pride. You know, to ask the question means to admit that we don't know the answer. And, so often it's easier just to pretend that we know and just kind of go along with what everybody else is doing and just kind of nod our heads and play the part because of our pride. You know, we don't ask because of fear. Fear of what others are going to say, fear of what others are going to think, and what we're so fearful about what others think in their minds. They never put the words, but we imagine what they're thinking about us. You know, perhaps they thought they were supposed to figure it out, and instead of asking, they just got to wrestle with this until they get it. But I'm so thankful for verse 19 because Jesus knows the thoughts of their hearts and Jesus speaks to what they were unwilling to ask. Look at verse 19. Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see Me, and again, a little while and ye shall see Me?" You know, Jesus initiates the discussion and Jesus asks for them the question that they were afraid to ask. And then Jesus speaks to their question with such comforting words. And He goes on to tell them, listen, it's going to be tough. Fellas, it's great sorrow. Great sorrow. And, you know, I almost find it a little bit humorous that to these 11 men, He uses the analogy of a woman in labor, and as if a guy really, truly knows what his wife is going through. And yet, they understand enough to understand the joy that is on the other side of that. And all that travail, and Jesus speaks these, these words of comfort. And he tells him, he says, listen, while you're sorrowing, the world is going to be rejoicing. The whole world is going to be against you. And listen, the joy, the things that break your heart, they're going to take joy in. And boy, I look at the world around us today, and the things this world rejoices in are things that make my heart grieve and bring tears to my eyes. And yet Jesus tells his disciples, listen, there's a better day coming, and your sorrow will be turned into joy. You see, Jesus encouraged their hearts and comforted them with the same comfort that he received. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and 12 verse 2. Well, I love this verse. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Would you read that the rest of the verse with me? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, listen. Jesus endured the cross. How? Why? For the joy that was set before him. And encourage his disciples with that same thought. But I want to ask you this morning, as Jesus tries to help his disciples and he reminds them, listen, you can talk about this among yourselves all you want, but listen, Peter doesn't know as much. He doesn't know any more than you, Andrew, and Philip and Thomas, they don't know any more than you. And we need to understand that. And I ask you this morning, what questions do you have? Where are you getting the answers to those questions? Oh, listen, so too often we just allow those questions to linger. We allow those questions to get buried by the busyness of life and the pressing needs of today. And then we just kind of pick up as we go through life from this world or from the culture around us, the answers to those questions. Oh, how foolish. How foolish. We have questions about life and questions about what lies beyond. And we pick up the answer to those questions from a Hollywood movie. We have questions about what is the significance of certain situations and themes. And we let the blather of coworkers give us the answer to those questions. Country music lyrics. You see, listen, what questions do you have? Where are you seeking clarity? Where are you seeking the answers to those questions? I was witnessing to a man this week, and he was telling me almost boastfully that he doesn't go to church anymore. And I told him, I said, I'm talking about being a Christian. You and I both know, you know, going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going in a car makes you a going in a garage makes you a car. And I said, what does it mean to be a Christian? How can you be a Christian? He said, I can't tell you that. I can't answer that. And I asked, can I tell you what Jesus said? No, I'm kind of busy right now. See, I just don't understand. I cannot imagine living day after day with questions about life and eternity going unanswered. Oh, listen, my friend, if you have questions, seek answers to those questions. The Word of God speaks answers to the questions that we have. And yet we might not have specific questions about our specific circumstances. But I want to ask you, where do you turn to get the answers to questions? So often, people going through difficult circumstances, they only talk with others who are as confused as they are. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, a lady has questions about her marriage and questions about how to love her husband. And instead of turning to a godly woman, she lets the lady at work speak into her life and answer her questions. Oh, she's been divorced 3 times. You see, where are we getting our answers from? You know, a young person, they want to understand life and the significance of life, and they get their understanding about life from other young people who haven't lived yet. They talk with other people who are as confused as they are. And it's absolutely amazing. You know, now that as a country we've destroyed an entire generation, you know, the mental health of an entire generation, people are finally starting to realize, you know, smartphones and social media are bad for young people. The Bible says the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well into his going. And a young person, I want to ask you, where are you getting your answers? Do you want the answers? Do you want the truth? You see, you're only going to get answers if you desire the answers. You know, Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Do you want truth? Do you want understanding? You know, the Bible speaks about those last days when men, they don't want answers to their questions. They don't want truth. They don't want to know what the Bible says and what Jesus, the Jesus that they're going to stand before one day. They'd rather have another Jesus preach to them. They'd rather keep to themselves teachers, the Bible says, because they have itching ears and they turn away their ears from the truth and they turn away unto fables. You see, the Jesus Christ wants you to get clarity to your circumstances and your questions in Him. But I ask you this morning, are you willing to be open? Are you humble enough to acknowledge that you don't have the answers, that you need some help? Are you humble enough to let others know where you are spiritually? You know, Lord willing, we're going to look at this tonight. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you have a teachable spirit? You know what I've found is sometimes the people who are asking the questions, they really don't want answers. They just want attention. And they've found that asking the questions is the way to get for themselves the attention that they want. And you give them the answers and they just keep asking questions. And do you really want the answers? Do you really want clarity? And yet I found others who are confused simply because they've already refused the answer. They've rejected the truth, and the answer's already been given them, and they will never find clarity because they've rejected that truth. You know, they would rather live in the darkness of their confusion than come to the light. Jesus speaks to that in John chapter 3 and verse 19. Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." See, Jesus is telling here about this utter confusion of soul, where men would rather lose their soul than lose their sin. They'd rather keep their sin and lose their soul. They won't come to the light. They insist, they persist in walking on in the darkness of their confusion because they have rejected the truth. See, Jesus Christ wants you to seek clarity from Him. And it brings us to our last point. Even when He cannot give you the answers that you want, Jesus gives words of comfort. Even when Jesus does not give you the answers that you want, Jesus speaks words of comfort. You know, as I read through this, the question was, what does a little while mean? And Jesus never answers that. You know, a little while, you shall not see me, and a little while, and you shall see me. You know, but yet He speaks such tender words of comfort. and encouragement to these disciples in their hour of need. And again, may I remind us that this is His hour of distress. You know, even as Jesus is speaking these words, a band of guards from the high priest is being assembled to be led by Judas to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ there in the garden. And listen, I want to remind us, it may not be time for Jesus to give you the answers that you seek. And listen, my friend, you may not get all your answers on this side of eternity. You may never understand why. But I want to ask you this morning, if you never understand why, are you okay with that? Do you still trust Him? You see, Jesus will tell us what we need to know, when we need to know. And we need to trust Him that He is working all things. We know all things. Romans 8:28. Let's read it. Such a great passage. Romans 8:28 and 29. Ready? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I want to ask you, do you trust Him? Do you trust His working in your life and His plan for you as He is making you? He is conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that all things work together for good, even when you don't know why? When you don't have the answers to your questions, do you trust Him? You know, the songwriter said it well, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know He holds my hand. And listen, as we go through life, there's going to be so many times we don't know the whys, and so many times you cry out to the heavens and you ask God, what's going on, and why is this happening, and when is it going to stop? And listen, when you don't know the whens and the wheres and the whys, listen, you always know the who, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, my friend, your Savior loves you. He loves you. Even when He doesn't answer your questions, He still loves you. Listen, don't make trusting in His love contingent upon the fact that He answer all your questions to your satisfaction. See, His love was proven on the cross. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, we're going to go through circumstances and situations, and we can't make Him again try to prove His love. When He gave His life, He loved you. You know, Jesus' words of comfort produce more faith. Look at verse 30 with me, if you would, please. Jesus has just said, I came forth from the Father, and I come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And of course, verse 29, he said, his disciples said to him, lo, thou now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Verse 30, would you read it with me, please? Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Well, I love this. As Jesus, He doesn't answer their question. He just tells them that He's returning to the Father. A little while, you'll not see me. A little while, you'll see me. I'm going to the Father. And He reiterates that. You know, when the disciples are going to go through great sorrow and anguish, and yet that sorrow is going to be turned to joy, and they will see Him again. And the disciples, in response to that, say, oh, now we're sure. Now we believe. You know, and I love that. That Jesus' words to His disciples, even though He doesn't answer their questions, His words of comfort, it produces more faith in them. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And yet, of course, their faith isn't as strong as they think it is. You know, now we believe, now we are sure. And Jesus says, oh, really? Okay. You know, he says, verse 31, or verse 32, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. Your faith isn't as strong as you think it is. Well, listen, fellas, I'm glad for this confession of faith. I'm glad that you're telling me that now you finally got it. But I just want you to know you're still going to abandon me. And you know what I said back in the about Peter denying me before the cock crow. You know that's still going to happen. And by the way, this is a good reminder for all of us, you know, because we can be overly confident in what we think we know. You know, we've learned a few things, and we've been saved for a minute, and we know, or at least we think we know, and we've got a few things we think figured out, and I want to remind us that God is going to test your faith. He's going to instruct, and he's going to teach, and he's going to exhort, and then God is going to test that faith. And if you're overly confident in what you think you know, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Would you read this with me, please? And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Listen, all that you think you know, you really don't know it as well as you think you know it. You know, it's kind of like high school. You know, you're going to get lessons for a few weeks and then the test. And God is going to teach us. And then God is going to test our faith. And so this morning, Jesus encourages his disciples and speak words of comfort to strengthen them, not in that present moment, but for a future need. I want to remind us that you cannot have this relationship with him if you are not his disciple. Everything that God wants to do in your life is predicated upon the fact that you trust him, that you live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And everything that God is doing, everything that God is working in our lives is a matter of us trusting in him. Oh, listen, if you're going to hear his words, if you're going to hear his words with understanding, you've got to be teachable. You can't think that you got it all down. You've got it all figured out. You must humble yourself. You're never going to receive the truth that he has to give if you're not willing to listen. You know, I found so many people, they're more interested in being right. They're more interested in winning the argument than understanding truth and knowing the truth. And listen, my friend, Jesus, he has words that he wants to speak as he works in our lives. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And as he works in our lives, may we trust him. Because God is working in our lives to prepare us for what lies ahead. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. Maybe God's working in your life to prepare you for something that's still many years off. But God is at work. God is teaching us. God is instructing us. Oh, may we seek understanding to all our questions from him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We don't have any first-time visitors with us. So I want to ask, dear believer, where do you turn with your questions?